Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Kaya Talk.
Kaya Talk.
How much more?
On the street.
Information does anybody need?
On the air.
So yesterday we played you the president's address in relation to the national dialogue. We didn't get a chance to even ask you how you feel about it. I'm sure you've had some time to think about it. And you can also give us a call and give us your reaction to that. 086-000-0959. WhatsApp note on 063-688-0959. We've already seen on social media platforms, all over the media, where people are starting to react to it. Others saying waste of time, waste of money. We all know what the problems are. Others are saying it's absolutely necessary. But let me give you some reaction also from civil society organizations, labor and the like, and we'll keep going. You know, it's something that's going to be happening in August only, so we'll keep getting that reaction. But I'll start with SAFDU General Secretary, and we spoke to you, Mr. Vavi, just a couple of hours ago, actually, if we have to be honest. But I thought it's important to get your reactions. Zwelinzima Vavi, thank you so much, sir, for making time for us again. Good evening.
Good evening, Penelo. Good evening to everybody listening and all of the colleagues, of course, in the studio.
Thank you very much. Your reaction to the national dialogue?
Well, difficult one, isn't it? Mm. Because there is a history to everything else. Mm. And I want to quickly read to you the type of commissions, councils, panels and committees that have been appointed by President Ramaphosa between 2018 and 2025. And there are 23 of them. The first was the Presidential Digital Commission. The second one was the Presidential Economic Advisory Council, the Presidential Advisory Panel on Land Reform and Agriculture, the Presidential Climate Change Coordinating Commission, the National Anti-Corruption Advisory Council, the Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Advisory Council, the Presidential Employment Stimulus Council, the State-Owned Enterprises Council, the Presidential Special Envoys on Investment, the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council, the Presidential Commission on Fourth Industrial Revolution, the Presidential Red Tape Reduction Unit, the President's Working Group on Disability, the President's Review of Work Visa System Unit, the Ethics, Integrity and Disciplinary Technical Assistance Unit, the Commission of Inquiry into Tax Administration and Governance at SARS, the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture, the Commission of Inquiry into Allegations of Impropriety Regarding the PIC, the Commission of Inquiry into the Delay of the TRC Cases, the National Orders Advisory Council, the Special Advisory Roles on Investment Promotion, the Commission Tribunal Appointments, the Commission on the Promotion of Protection of the Rights of Cultural, Religious and Linguistic Communities. In summary, we have seen not just those commissions, but in addition to that, we have seen task teams, war rooms, advisory forums, sectoral summits, ad hoc panels, COVID-19 Committee Council, Electricity Crisis Committee, Operation Vulindlela task teams, and 23 of them. In fact, by the time he leaves, we will have over 100 of these subcommittees and task teams, all of them working parallel to the massive bloated cabinet that has been appointed. Mm. Now around 60-something cabinet and deputy cabinet ministers. Now you ask your question, come on. We need another dialogue in addition to all of this sea of commissions and standing committees, war rooms. None of us, Pamela, sitting here can say, oh, thanks to that commission, our country have moved from point A to point B. We are sitting in a precipice as we speak, and world-breaking records of crisis upon crisis. of unemployment, poverty, inequality, corruption, lawlessness, porous borders, you name it all, dysfunctional schools and police stations, falling numbers of people that are detected for murder, down to 14% conviction rate for people who commit a murder, down to 9% for people who rape. I mean, we are in a precipice, as we're saying, and we're teetering towards a failed state. Will this national dialogue solve these problems, or are we not just adding another commission to waste money, to wind time, and to appear to be doing something? From my initial reaction, and I don't have a mandate on this one, Pamela, don't hang me if SAFTU comes back and says no after consideration this and that, we felt that this is a good way to go. But my own view is that this is going to be a waste of time.
I mean, you drive the point so clearly with the number of commissions, as you said, that you've named, and as you said, you haven't even finished going through the list. Is there anything positive that you think will come out of this?
Gosh, I doubt. Look, I was looking at the composition of this team, and I was saying, what even the composition is about three people with a background of business, one person with a background of labor, former general secretary of COSATU, five religious leaders, three sports people, high profile icons of South African sport, the Bafana Bafana captain, the coach of Banyana Banyana, and this and that. I doubt if that mixed masala will produce anything. We know, you know, the ANC appear now not to know what its mandate was. The Freedom Charter is very clear. 10 simple demands. And so who needs a dialogue to advance that? The RTP, 6 clear programs. Who needs a dialogue to repeat that? The ANC's Morogoro conference, very clear, to leave the current interest, to retain their interest economically and on the land question, will represent not only an insult, but a shadow of liberation itself. We know what needs to be done. The question is, why has the movement not done what it says it will do in each and every manifesto? In South Africa, even if you were to look at it from the conservative point of view, liberal programs that they've been pursuing, from 1995, there was privatization, 1996, there was GIE announced, there was a shared growth document, there was finally the NDP that have a target to cut unemployment by 2030. Where is that? All of that. So we now need to have another session and spend millions of rands to talk about what we know is the crisis. The crisis is political. The crisis is that we have a leadership that have lost its conscience, and it doesn't relate to the interest of ordinary people who are desperately need jobs and who are desperately in need of infrastructure, as we have seen the disaster of the Eastern Cape. May we take this opportunity to send our deepest condolences to all of them. But again, how many times have you seen, Pimelo, people here in Gauteng residing right in the banks of the river? Why do we have people staying in the banks of the river? Where is the land program? Where is the program to relocate people? Where is our special development plan to ensure that we build new cities? What happens to our targets to create or to build houses for the people who have no houses? And where is our infrastructure program to build bridges? Why do we have collapsing bridges? Why do we have people in KwaZulu-Natal resorting to build their own bridges? This is a disaster unfolding. Why do we need a summit to talk about these things? We need a political leadership to drive a developmental agenda. We don't have that leadership. And in order to now sidestep that reality we're facing, we're convening another talking summit. No. Unless SAFTU says to us, no, you are wrong. We must participate in this thing, and we will be heard this time around. We've met the president as Labour. We have met the ministers. They have addressed our annual Labour schools and summits. Nothing is going forward.
Sure. Mr. Vavi, I appreciate you talking to us, and I do take the fact that you, as you are saying in this conversation, this is your personal view. You're not representing SAFTU, but thank you very much for your take. You've had many, many years in the labor sector, and I think your voice is important. That is Zulinzi Mavavi there, not speaking in his capacity as General Secretary of SAFTU. But let me quickly take your call. As I said, I'm very happy to hear from you. Richard, you're in Soweto. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you so much, ma'am. You know what? It's the first time I come on the radio station.
Welcome.
And I don't like to listen to politicians, because the politician, one politician from the ANC once said, he didn't come to politics to be poor. You know, these politicians, they always talk about poor people, yet they jump rich. They talk about, but I want to say, I was in Durban on Monday, and I saw a white lady, they ran Comrade Marathon on Sunday, and a black lady walking together. And I said to them, you know, I see the future of the country with both blacks and whites working together, especially like you see on race day, you see young black people, so many young black people running the Comrade Marathon, or maybe working hard to get there. And I think, When in the evening I get to hear that the president is calling the dialogue, I said I think it's a good thing for us. At least it's something that is positive.
Okay.
My side, I support the president. I say, thanks, the president. Bring people together and let's talk.
All right.
Let's hope something comes out of this.
Right, Richard there in Soweto. I'm also going to bring in Lerato Ngubeni, who is an Action SA MP, who was listening to Mr. Vavi. Good evening and welcome, and thank you so much, Ms. Ngubeni, for making time for us.
Thank you so much, Pimelo, and thank you so much to the kind listeners.
Your position as Action SA, your reaction to the announcement of the national dialogue by the president?
Look, the initial retort or the initial response would be, once again, you know, we don't want money to be spent unnecessarily in our country. However, a national dialogue, we believe, is very important. All of us were not there during the CODESA times. We were not there when discussions were being had around sunset clauses, around concessions that were made, at the inception of our democracy. We believe that, you know, our constitution speaks about healing the divisions of our past, you know, talking about how it is that we need to get over what happened to ourselves. We know that we cannot undo what has happened to us. But one of the most critical things I think that South Africans need to really grapple with is the idea of what does it mean to be a South African? Because, you know, today I'm a black South African, I'm a woman South African, I'm a female South African, I'm an Afrikaner South African, as we have seen, you know, what are they called now? Americanas, Afrika Americanas. You know, it's a very big problem in our country, and we've never really had a conversation around what does it mean to be a South African, and what is our shared heritage, and how are we going to take ourselves forward? And so we believe that, you know, a dialogue, a national dialogue, and we saw that the president, you know, pronounce his weight behind the national dialogue. It's an important thing. I hear that Devavi, however, you know, they were privy to those conversations, but all of South Africans were not. And you had a very handful of people who were part of that conversation. And we want all, you know, the largest part of South Africans to be part of the national dialogue. So when we leave that dialogue, we come out with something that is solid, that is South African, that is binding for all of us, so that we can move forward together. And so in our view, honestly, we support the idea of a national dialogue, particularly when you speak to things like education, housing, citizenship. You've seen we've posited in our submission to the Constitutional Review Committee the idea of citizenship. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so we think it's important for us to have that national dialogue.
Just clarify for us, Ms. Gubeni, when you say, you know, you wouldn't want a waste of money, what would you consider to be a waste in this regard?
You know, unfortunately, Pirello, we know that, you know, some of these endeavors, you know, have been used to siphon money, to do tendering, for people, you know, to be preferred as suppliers and then not, you know, provide the services, et cetera, et cetera. What is good about what is about to happen now is that, you know, for the first time in South Africa, you've got coalition governments, you've got political parties that are not necessarily within the government. We can, you know, exercise oversight. And it's important for South Africans to be able to have that type of watchdog. And so we're not afraid anymore in terms of, you know, having a one-party state that has, you know, more than 60% and things can really be, you know, swept under the carpet. Mm. For the first time, South Africans have a voice. We are here now. And so if oversight is not exercised, South Africans can blame some of us for not being able to see what is happening and what is it that is being swept under the carpet. But we really do believe that it is important for South Africans to have a conversation about who we are, where we want to go, and how is it that we move in one accord. And so, you know, for us, we know we don't have the money. I mean, right now we're dealing, just today we had the fiscal framework, you know, a conversation. We know we don't have the money as a country, but it is important for us to define those things that are our value systems. What are we going to spend money on? So that in the future, we don't waste money on things that we don't need, but we also agree on the things that we need to spend money on. And we believe that a national dialogue is an important value to get behind as South Africans. We've never had an opportunity to do that, and it is important for us to do that going forward, particularly leading up to 2029, when we might definitely have a completely different set of realities than what we have currently.
I really appreciate you giving us your time this evening. That's Lerato Ngubeni there, who's an Action SA MP. Let me quickly get to Sammy in Polokwane. Sammy, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Tinelo.
Good evening. Yeah, that
too. In 2012, I was working at Tiger Brands. I was a merchandise. The unions and the whole of the world, but let me just get to the point. In 2012, there was a so-called social coercion conversation.
Yep.
They spent money, they employed venues, Kanaga Estate, and so on and so on. What came out of it? Nothing. So all of this is just going to be an exercise of wasteful expenditure. They're going to loot our taxes and so on and so on. Nothing's going to come out of Canada. Canada, you know what the problems are that we're experiencing as a country. They don't need a dialogue. They need work. They need people that are accountable. We know that our SAPS is dysfunctional. We know our healthcare system is dysfunctional. Our education system is dysfunctional. My seven-year-old niece, she's turning 80. She knows exactly what is the problem with our country. We don't need these dialogues today. What are they going to achieve? We've had dialogues ever since 1996. Nothing has ever come out of it. And up until the electorate will wake up and start waiting for people that's got a solution instead of people that are noisemakers with tired political ideologies that are outdated. People are still calling themselves comrades. We are never gonna get on anywhere. We don't need dialogues, Pinero. We need people to work and stop looting our money. That's all.
Sammy there in Polokwane. I want to quickly get to Wayne Duvenage as well, Outer CEO. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Nice to be with you and your listeners.
So we got the president announcing yesterday the national dialogue, and the 15th of August it is. What's your reaction as outer to this dialogue?
Yeah, look, I think sharing sentiment from your previous caller, we are dialogued out as a nation. We've been doing so much talking and not enough action. And I think this is a distraction. It's not rocket science to know what has to happen to have the dialogue. I think the group is going to move around the country for the next couple of years, taking in a lot of discussion with communities on what we all already know. And that is essentially, and in the think tanks that I've been a part of recently, it really just boils down to unless we can get on top of our criminal justice system, make it efficient, deal with the court, the cases that are just backing up in courts and taking years to get done, corrupt syndicates and people in positions of power who abuse that power. Unless we can tackle all of that, and not just through the NPA, obviously, the police, the SARS, the SIU, having an integrated criminal justice system that is efficient. Until we get on top of that, people are not going to invest in this country, we're not going to create jobs, and we're not going to move people out of poverty. Yes, we need to fix education and healthcare and our breaking and broken municipalities. But none of that happens while people do not feel safe in this country, cannot defend themselves. And so dialogue, we've had enough. We know what we have to do. We need political will. We need courageous leaders. We need new leaders. We just cannot keep talking and talking. Mm.
Appreciate your time there, Wayne Duvenage, outer CEO. And I just want to just go through some of, I won't get through all of them. I promise you it's a long list, but we will share a link to the president's speech yesterday. But let me go to, you know, the president's announcement. Obviously yesterday came with a list of what he calls the eminent persons group that are going to be working very closely, you know, in trying to be part of this dialogue. And some of the list names are Judge Edwin Cameron. You may know him as former Constitutional Court Judge. Manu Dubijo, remember Manu Dubijo? Former Northern Cape Premier. Desiree Ellis, Banyana Banyana coach and footballer. Professor Nomboniso Gasa, researcher and a rural activist. John Cunney, award-winning actor. Siya Kolisi, Springbok captain. You know him. You've also got Bishop Lekhanyane, leader of Zion ZCC Church. You know that, Zion Christian Church. You also have, let's see, Thabo Mokgoba, Anglican Bishop of Cape Town. Professor Dinyiko Maluleke, you know Professor Maluleke as well, Chairperson of the National Planning Commission. You have Dr. Barbara Masikela, who is a former ambassador, poet, educator, stalwart. Miss Lindi Wemazibugo as well, Member of Parliament. Rolf Meyer, former minister, constitutional negotiator. You remember him as well, Gqinamhlophe, storyteller. So the list goes on and on. I can't give you the entire list. Gloria Serobe there, you know Gloria Serobe, Whiphold founder, Dr. MTS Suleiman. And as I said, the list goes on and on. So it's an interesting list. Actually, I'd like to hear your take on this one. What do you make of the list? Many of you are sending voice notes and also texts as well, saying, no, this is not going to work. This is enough now. You have Dr. Brigalia Bam as well, former independent IEC chairperson. You remember her. So we'll keep getting the reactions. I'll start here as well. And I know that we've asked the EFF to also talk to us about the budget vote that took place today. But let me take a quick break before I speak to them. And then when we come back, I will be speaking to EFF Treasurer General Umphile Maudu. They are going to give us their take on the budget that was passed today, that budget vote. But they obviously oppose it, but I also want their take on the national dialogue announcement yesterday.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.